Our mission at Cross City Christian Church is to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. A devoted follower of Jesus embraces a life of generosity through sacrificially giving of their time, talents, and treasure. The Bible teaches us a baseline standard for giving. It's called the tithe. When we give the first 10% of our income to the church, we put God first in our lives. Tithing is an act of worship that expresses our gratitude to God and our love for others. Cross City is supported entirely by the giving of our friends, consistent tithe of our church family, and sacrificial above and beyond offerings of some incredibly generous members. You've got a few options when you're deciding of how to give at Cross City. You can give in person, online, and yes, you can even give on your phone. Well, while you're on campus, you can use envelopes and our giving boxes that are conveniently located all over campus. You can make your gifts in person using cash, check, debit, credit card, and you can always drop off or even mail your checks to the church office. But online giving, it is safe, it is simple, and we just really think it's a smart way to give at Cross City. Let me show you just how easy online giving can be. From your personal computer, what you do is you go to mycrosscity.com. Once you're there, go ahead and scroll down and click the Give Online button. What this is gonna do is going to direct you to a page. It's gonna answer some questions that you have. Once you've had your questions answered, you can go to the Give Online Now button. That redirects you to a safe and secure website. And on there, what you can do is you can simply type in the amount of money that you're wanting to give. Maybe it's an offering, maybe it's a tithe, it could be a one-time gift. You can decide where you want to give it, and then you press next. You will then be prompted to provide a cell phone number for verification, or you may choose to set up an account if you plan to give a recurring gift. You can give online from your phone, either through the Cross City app or by texting CC Fresno to 77977. Both of these options will redirect you to our safe online giving site by providing confirmation security code. You know, in the digital age that we're now living in, so many of our expenses, like our phones, utilities, and mortgage, are paid regularly online. Online banking is not only convenient, but it can be very helpful to ensure we are on time with our payments. We believe that scheduling an online recurring gift is good stewardship. By automating what is important, we are ensuring that God is being first in the area of our finances and in life. Your giving really is making a difference. Thank you for partnering with Cross City through your regular tithes and over and above generosity. We really are better together.
Better together, it's got a ring to it. Thanks, Brent. Brent, how many think Brent should maybe, if he's going to be on HD video that 6 inches from his face, maybe he should shave? Does anybody? Stand up here. Let me look at this. Come in. I'm going to say this. You just refuse to shave? Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. Sit down. I've had enough. How long can one person be a part of the morning worship hour? Anyway, we're glad that you're here today, and we are encouraging you to participate in our Try the Tithe in July challenge, campaign, whatever you want to call it. And we're just asking people to give 10% back during that month. And I told you I was going to give you a little surprise at the end of June for the month of July. And here is the surprise. Are you ready? Here it is. If you will go on our website, our webpage, there's a giving button. And you hit that and you can scroll down. And there's a form you can fill out. And if you fill that form out, there's a few hoops you need to jump through. You have to document what you're doing in July. But really, here's what's going to happen. If you try the tithe in July, and you get to the end of the month, and you think, this didn't work, and I didn't get blessed, I am not more in tune with God, I feel further away from God, He hasn't poured into my life like the preacher said He would, I would like to have my money back, we will give you your money back. A money back guarantee in church. Have you ever heard of it? Anybody ever heard of it? I haven't either. I'm kind of scared. Thousands of people are going to go to that website, and we're going to have a terrible August, I'm afraid. No, we're not. We're not. I promise you that. But if that's the safety net that you want and need, we want to provide it for you. We really do. And we will do that. We will refund every penny if you believe it just wasn't what we said it would be. So I'm excited about that. I believe that if you will try it, that the Lord's going to do some big things in all of our lives. I just believe that with all of my heart. We're in a series called Be Happy, and we're finished. This is the last week, no applause. And we're just kind of circling the wagons here a bit and recapping this. We started the series out by talking about our Declaration of Independence and those words, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's why we called this Be Happy, because Americans, we believe that. We think that's in our DNA, that we should seek happiness. We were put here, we were born, we're Americans because we have the right to be happy. It's talking about the pursuit of happiness, but we just believe we should spend every day pursuing happiness. We think that's what living is all about. And I think the Lord has kind of a different idea of the meaning of living a fulfilled, blessed, happy life. John Ortberg talked about his kids years ago wanting to go to the shrine of the golden arches because the kids were indoctrinated by television and advertisements that they needed to get those happy meals because all of the life's blessing and fulfillment would come through having a happy meal. And he would sometimes tell them, no, I'm not going to get you a happy meal. We're going to buy a regular meal, and then I'll give you a quarter or 50 cents, and we can go down to the store and get a cheap toy that's equivalent to what's in here, and we're going to save money, and you're going to get a meal, and you're still going to get a toy. But he said the kids would begin to scream, and people all over the restaurant would look at this cheapskate, tightwad dad who wouldn't buy their own kids a happy meal. So he would end up buying them a Happy Meal. It never failed. And the problem, he said, is that the Happy Meal is that the happy ends up wearing off. And then they need a new fix. No child discovers, he said, true lasting happiness in a Happy Meal. No child looks back and says, oh man, remember 10 years ago and we had that Happy Meal. Man, life's really been complete ever since then. He said, you ever wonder why that Ronald McDonald has that crazy grin on his face? It's because he's the only one that's happy. Because they've sold over 70 billion Happy Meals. McDonald's is the only one that's really happy. And he said, when you get older, you don't get any smarter. He said, your Happy Meals just get a little more expensive. And we find in life that they really don't fulfill. They really don't. You're really not going to get a money-back guarantee on a Happy Meal. It doesn't work that way. ABC did a thing years ago when John Stossel was the host. I think it was a 2020 special on happiness, the mystery of happiness. That's why I named the title of the sermon that. The mystery of happiness. And the subtitle was, Who Has It and How to Get It? And they went around, they had reporters in this hour special, and they went around and they asked all these different people, they interviewed them, and they basically were asking, are you happy? And most of them reported back, no, we're not really happy. They interviewed lottery winners, big time millionaires, are you happy? Most of them said, we're not happy. They interviewed a young lady who won $26 million in one lotto, and they asked her, are you happy? And she said, honestly, no. They went to Europe and interviewed those who had were connected to royalty or were royalty. They had great positions of power and prominence, all the resources imaginable. They were even dressed, many of them, in their royal garb, and they were asked, are you happy? And most of them said, no, I'm really not happy. You see, preacher, you're making this stuff up. This can't be true. Well, just think about the life. I was thinking of Princess Diana, who was young and beautiful and had everything and was married to the future king of England. And you think she lived a happy life? By all details and documents, she lived anything but a happy life. Those things don't bring about what we think they're going to bring about. I was reading an article about the world's greatest athlete, male model, Troy Aikman, Dallas Cowboy quarterback from Oklahoma, one of the most perfect people God ever made. won 3 Super Bowls. He was interviewed by New York Times columnist years ago, and the headline actually read, Troy Aikman asked, "Is this all there is?" And in the article, and I've heard him just even recently refer to it, that all of those things he was after from the time he started as a little boy, all of the things he thought would bring him happiness and that he finally achieved, it actually did not bring him anything that he thought it would bring him. And there's a guy up in the Northeastern, I think he plays a little, I can never think of his name, Tim Brody, what's his name? Tom Brady, he's a quarterback. Yeah, he's no Troy Aikman, but they gave him a uniform. Anyway, he had said this on a video recently. Well,
I mean, I'm making more money now than I ever thought I could ever make playing football.
But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew.
Well, I think I know. If you have your Bibles, turn to a couple of places. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 and also Psalm chapter 1. Now you can do both if you have a finger or thumb or a bulletin. And we're just going to look at some things. We're going to review some of these principles. We began the very first principle that we looked at some time ago. Jesus said basically, happy are the humble. Happy are the humble. Now listen, in our world today, we think just the opposite, okay? We think, man, if you've ever accomplished anything, make sure you have it printed. Make sure you have it on a plaque and make sure you put it up. Make sure everybody in the neighborhood knows what you've ever accomplished. That's the world that we live in. And the reality is this, is that there are 2 worlds. And you're kind of, I don't know the term, you have dual citizenship. Because we live in this world. And this world affects us in every way. We think we're immune because we come to church for 45 minutes a week. Listen, we are all affected by this world. But God, the Lord Jesus wants us to live according to the principles of His world, of His kingdom. And so when you become a Christian and you join that kingdom, there's conflict. There's great tension between that world and this world that we're living in. If somebody told you that becoming a Christian, everything was going to be easy and the day you become a Christian till the day you go to heaven, it's just going to be a great big ball of joy and puppy dogs and everything else. Listen, they were misleading you. Because there is great conflict in the reality of this world, but what He desires for us, He wants us to live according to the principles of that world. And I'm just telling you, some days it works, and some days there's great tension. I remember the guy running for president years ago, not that many years ago, John Edwards, and a nice, handsome guy with a lot of hair. I couldn't stand him. And he got up, and he was always talking about the 2 Americas. And I mean, it was a great theme, and people really resonated with it. And he was contrasting the haves and the have-nots and all that stuff, the power and the money and everything else. And boy, that's true. There are actually a lot of Americas. I think one day he probably would have been president. The problem was he had 2 girlfriends, and that was an issue, and he was married. So that was a problem. But it's a great principle. There are 2 Americas. There are 2 worlds. There's the world in which we are headed to, the world that we're a part of spiritually. We are a part of His kingdom, but yet we have to live down here in this thing. And Jesus says, if you want to be happy, here, before you get to heaven, there's some things you need to do. And he tells us, and each line is shocking. I know it's shocking because as we've gone over each one of these, each week, you guys have just been staring at me with a look like, really? We came today to hear about this? And the first one was, happy are the humble. And yet the world we're living in says, no, you should blow the trumpet, man. If you've accomplished anything, don't sit back. And yet Jesus says that he resists the proud and he draws near to those and he lifts up those who are humble. Just the opposite of what our world that we're living in says. Then he said, happy are the hurting. I mean, has there ever been a more absurd statement than happy are the hurting? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I mean, what does that mean? That doesn't even make sense. The world we live in says, man, avoid pain at all costs. Whatever you do, don't do something that would cause any pain. If there is any pain, get rid of it, mask it, throw it away, make it go away. Don't talk about sensitive things. Don't talk about things we don't want to hear about. Don't talk about cancer and whatever you do, don't talk about death. Stay away from anything and everything that causes pain. And the Lord Jesus comes along and says, wait a minute. Some of the most profound things that you will ever experience, you will experience in pain. Some of the greatest things that you will learn, some of the most fantastic truths you will ever find, you will find in the middle of suffering. Happy are the hurting. And then Brent talked about happy are the harnessed, or he used the word meekness. Meekness. And that really means controlled strength. We confuse it with weakness, but it means control, power under control. That's a principle from that world. That's kingdom living. The world that we live in down here in the physical, this world says, man, if you have it, flaunt it. If you don't have it, get it. And once you get it, let it all out. If you've got the power, use it. If you've got money, use it. For whatever you can get out of it, just use it. Use every resource you have. Jesus said, no, real happiness is when you have power, but you don't use it. You don't use it at every moment, every second of every day. You let the Holy Spirit control it. You let the Holy Spirit use that. And you see, Jesus, and no matter what principle we look at, his principle is actually the far, far opposite end of the world that we are living in. And yet today, our drive for success is relentless. Some of you are trapped on the treadmill of self-destruction, and you are running and trying and going faster than you've ever gone before, and you're just going and going and going, and yet there's still that still small voice down deep that says, you've got to run faster still. If you really want to make it. And so we come in here week after week, and we're kind of beat up. It's not easy living the American dream, the constant pursuit of happiness, of trying to climb, as somebody said, the ladder of success. You're trying to keep your nose to the grindstone, your shoulder to the wheel, and your eye on the ball, and your ear to the ground. That's actually contortion, somebody said. That's kind of what we're doing today. That's kind of the world that we live in. Jesus said, happy. Number four, he said, happy are the hungry. Happy are the hungry. We think, well, that's the world says, that's just the opposite. You don't want to be hungry. You want to be satisfied. That's why we have buffets. You eat until you're full. And then if you want, because you can, eat a little more. Because that, then you'll really be satisfied. And then there's not a person here that would understand that's actually not true. I mean, you just keep eating and you get so satisfied, you end up getting sick. Doesn't really work that way. But that's what the world tells us. If you're lacking in any area, just go have that need met. That's a sign of success. If you're not doing that, then you're unsuccessful. Get everything you can. Just gorge yourself on life, man. That's success. We're introducing this Try the Tithe in July. I know for those who tithe, it is music to your ears. And to those who don't, it's probably a nightmare. You're like, man, don't say the word again. And I want you to know, as the minister of the church, I have a pretty decent idea on our giving statistics, and some have tithed. We have a group of regulars who tithe, and that is the first tenth, and they've done that for years and years and years. Some give an amount that's pretty decent amount, and they give it regularly, and boy, that really helps. Some give regularly, but it's a pretty small amount, but still, we need that. We're dependent on that. But sometimes those amounts are so small, it can be staggering, honestly. And some give, the one most perplexing thing to me is the people that give $50, $100 once or twice a year. It's like, I don't know if they got a big windfall or something and they just felt obligated, or they just had an extra. I just honestly don't even understand it. And of course, there's a percentage of people that give absolutely nothing, year in and year out, and yet they expect everything from the church whenever they need it, at any moment, at any time, have all their needs met. And it's a struggle. You say, why does it work out that way? It's because we are living in two worlds. We're living in a world that the Lord asks us and requires certain things of us, and yet we're living down here in a physical world, and everything in this world shouts something different than what He's telling us. Maybe you've never been challenged is why you don't do it. That's, by the way, one of the reasons I'm challenging everybody, is to say, you do not have that excuse anymore that the preacher never challenged me to tithe. Maybe you've been through some episode, or your faith has taken a hit, and maybe you just you're not up to it. You're in a bad place. You're spiritually, some people are spiritually short-sighted. Maybe you've fallen for the oldest trick in His book. And that is, you're looking around and everything you see in this world, you look at it and you go, "Wow, that's pretty awesome. That's prominent. That's powerful, that's potent, that's permanent." And my friend, that is the biggest lie our enemy tells us every single day, every second of our lives. And I'm here to tell you what his book says, is that every temporary thing in this temporary world screams, "Don't give him a penny. You keep your money. You've got to provide and take care of your loved one. You've got to be responsible. Who's going to pay for the insurance?" In other words, this world tells us, get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. And Jesus comes along and He says, I want to tell you something. In my world, it's actually just the opposite. Just the opposite. What are you talking about? It's just the opposite. Well, in the spiritual realm, the kind of joy that I want you to have, you can only experience when you try to live like me, he says. When you try to imitate me. I want my nature to be your nature. You say, well, what's your nature like? What were you like? Well, I'll tell you what he was like in just a few words. Now, the first word is the word give. He gave and he gave and he gave and he gave and he gave. That's his nature. We're going to sing in just a little bit. Jesus paid it all. And he did. And he pays it all every day for you. If you want to be like him, you're going to be a generous person and you're going to give. That's his nature. The other thing he did is he forgave. He didn't just give. He forgave, and he forgives, and he forgives your sin and my sin. Jesus paid it all. You know what else Jesus did? He loved his Father. He loved God. And you just read the things that he said. He was always trying to brag on Dad. He was always trying to show that he just loved God the Father more than anything in the whole world. He gave. He forgave. He loved his Dad. He wanted to see people cross the line. He wanted to see people's lives changed. He wanted to see people become God followers and Christ followers. And he wanted them to grow in their faith. He wanted them to become disciples. He didn't want them just to acknowledge him. He wanted them to grow deep in that attempt to follow him. That's his nature. And if you're going to have that nature, I'm just telling you, You're gonna run into a lot of things in this world that run in the opposite direction. You're gonna bump up against some things sometimes. It's not always gonna be easy peasy. There's gonna be some difficult moments. Happy are the hungry. Jesus said, happy are the helpers, those who serve. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. I came to serve. We think that greatness is marked by how many people are serving you. And Jesus said just the opposite. Our world says, you know, there's like a triangle in this world. And you get to the top of the triangle, and you look down, and everybody underneath you, that's awesome because they're all serving you. And Jesus said, well, I got a newsflash. And one of my principles is actually, again, it's just the opposite. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, he said, you got to turn that triangle upside down. If you want to be great in my kingdom, he said, you got to be the servant of all. So just flip that triangle upside down, and you're down here, and you're actually serving everybody. Jesus says, now that is greatness. That is greatness. You say, well, not in this world. That's right. That's my whole point. They're as far apart as you can imagine. Happy are the helpers. They will be shown mercy. Happy are the merciful. The world says that happiness comes from unrestrained freedom. That's all over the TV. It's all over the radios. It's in every movie. It's in everything that we call art. Unrestrained freedom. If we can just get to that point, boy, then there's going to be some happiness, right? No boundaries? We don't need boundaries. Who would put a boundary on somebody? Man, that is a recipe for absolute unhappiness. No borders. Not trying to get political. We don't need borders. Border smarters. We don't need laws. We don't need restrictions. We need free speech. We need a revolution. What was once called a sexual revolution. It's that now times 10. It's now that on steroids. Righteousness doesn't really matter to us in this world. Rights are rights. Now, our rights mean everything. That will lead the news. We don't want any rights violated. That's important. That is critical. That's the world we live in. In his world, he's not really into rights. I don't know how to tell you that. He's into righteousness. He wants you to do the right thing. Happy are the helpers. Jesus says, happy are the holy, blessed are those who are pure in heart. I just want to tell you, in my 30 plus years of preaching, leading in churches, this may sound strange. There are no happy adulterers. There are no happy fornicators. And I'll just throw in, there are no real happy God robbers. They may try to convince you. They may be so detached from the spiritual realm that they're pretty good at convincing you they're happy, but I'm telling you, there are no happy folks who violate the word. Jesus says you get happiness by trying to be like me, by being holy. Jesus said, happy are the healers, happy are the peacemakers. We think we get in a fight, we get recorded on we have our friend recorded on a cell phone out in the schoolyard, and then we'll put it online and it goes viral. We think there's happiness in that. And Jesus says, no, happiness is when you get together and you find somebody who's been torn apart, some relationship that's been broken, and you're part of bringing it back together. He says, those are the people that are happy. World says, do you take care of you? You're number one. You're king of the universe. And he says just the opposite. Blessed are the peacemakers. You got a problem with somebody, fix it. Mend it. That's God's way. Brent talked last week about the harassed. Happy are the harassed. Happy are the persecuted. If you're hurt, listen, Jesus says, if you're hurt for doing the right thing, if you're hurt, if you're persecuted for doing something good in my kingdom, he says that's really a compliment. That's actually a badge of honor. That's a credential. That's part of being really a Christ follower. That's not a bad thing, he said. That's actually a good thing. And all of these principles, I know they're stunning, they're shocking. They stand in direct opposition of what our world says today. And if somebody came to you and somebody came to me and they said, preacher, could you tell me what will really bring about happiness? And I said, happy are the humble and the harnessed and the holy and the healing and the hurting and the hungry and the helpers and the persecuted and the harassed. I mean, they'd go, it doesn't make any sense. How can that be? I still don't get, preacher, how you can say this is where the blessing comes from. I'm no scholar, but in that book of Matthew, when it talks about blessing, it is the Greek word eulogia. It doesn't sound Greek, sounds Italian to me, but that word is where we get our word eulogy. And when do we give somebody a eulogy most of the time? When they're gone. They're not saying anything else. They've done everything they're ever going to do. And they're in that box or in that vase or that urn, whatever you call it. And they're sitting there or they're laying there. And, then we get up. Somebody gets up and says, Bob was a great guy. I really liked Bob. Bob went to work every day. Bob paid his bills. Bob loved his wife. On and on and on and on. We call that a eulogy. That's the word for blessing. You know what the Lord is saying? The Lord is saying, blessed are these people who do these things. The Lord is saying, you can have a blessing on your life, not when you leave this place and go to heaven. You can actually have His blessing and His benediction and His hand on your life today. You can have it today. You can have it every day of your life. How are you going to get there? By living, trying to live according to His principles. And I'm not here today to say it's easy. There is great tension in trying to live that out. But you can have that eulogia. You can have that blessing on your life by trying to live your life as a Christian. Now quickly turn to Psalm chapter 1 because I want to go through this outline and you're thinking there's no way you're going through this outline. You're going to be surprised. Most of these are just words. I'm just going to fill it in for you. I have all the answers right here, but I'm not going to give them to you unless you have fantastic eyes and can see them from here. That's cheating somehow. But here we go. Are you ready? Because there's two umbrellas and underneath these umbrellas, If you will go to Psalm 1 and read these verses, memorize these two verses, some of you already have them memorized, the principles in Psalm 1 will bring to life, I believe, the Beatitudes, the Happitudes we've been talking about. And it says in that verse that the first word of the chapter is, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. Next line in your outline, the progression of the world, and he gives three words there, the wicked and sinners and mockers. Wicked and sinners and mockers. The counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. The counsel of the wicked, that is an entry-level thing. That's an entrance. It just means life without God. Doesn't mean you're a terrible, terrible person. It just means you've decided to leave God out. The Bible says that's ungodly in one version. That's what wicked is. There's no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The next step downward, and by the way, all these steps are downward, is a sinner. This is a blatant opposition to what God's up to. Blatant opposition to revealed truth. You've moved from minus God to overtly standing and opposing against Him. Sinner. The third word is mocker. One version uses the word scornful. So this next level down means that you have a terrible, blasphemous attitude towards anything that is godly. You've gone from just being without God to taking a stand against Him, to now having this incredible spirit blasphemous against anything that even resembles a godlike idea. And by the way, that's what we see around the world, all over America today. Yeah, there are two Americas. I'm not talking about Republican, Democrat, and conservative. There are two Americas. There's an America, there's a few people left that want to live according to its principles, and there's a whole bunch of people that the moment that's brought up, they will say and do anything to stand in opposition of it. We see that spiral. Number two, the pull of the world. Three more words: counsel and way and seat. Watch the pull of the world. Write, underline those words or draw a circle around them. The pull of the world. The counsel that somebody's telling you something. You ever received counsel? You received counsel from the day you were born. Your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, your teachers. You've been getting nothing but counsel since the day you were born. And you're considering everything somebody says to you. You're thinking, well, yeah, I guess I'm going to think about that. And then the way or the path, you begin to contemplate that. And then you finally get to a point where you sit down in a seat and you're comfortable with it now. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that how it works? The counsel, you contemplate it. You get up, you walk in that path, and then you sit right down in the middle of it because you're comfortable with it. That's the way the world works. Do you understand how the world works? Do you look back over your life? Is there anything in your life that you're not as sensitive about today that you were 5 years, 10 years ago? And you go, well, how did I get to this point? It's easy. I know exactly how you got to this place. You received counsel, and you listened. And then you thought about it, and you kind of got in the way. You started walking down that path. Yeah, okay, super. And then you got comfortable, and you sat down. You sat right in the middle of it. Number three, the permanence of the world. Three more words: walk, stand, and sit. Walk, stand, and sit. If you go back over those verses, and you can understand this outline, I'm telling you, things will start clicking when it comes to these principles in the Beatitudes. You walk, you have an association. If you walk with somebody, you're associating. Hey, maybe. And you stand, you're identifying. If somebody says, would you stand for me? Yeah, okay, yep. Please stand up. And you stand up. You're saying, I'm with this guy. I'm with this movement. You walk, you stand, you identify, and then when you sit, that's a fixation. That's a permanent thing. And friend, every one of us are affected by the pull of the system that we are living in. And Jesus is saying today, listen, this is the sermon. I don't want you to live in that downward spiral. I want you to live according to these principles. I know it's not easy. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to do it perfectly every day and every way. But if you will dedicate your heart and life to these principles, guess what you're going to find that everybody is after? Happiness. Blessedness. You're going to have eulogia on you. You're going to have His hand on you. You're going to find fulfillment down here in a place where basically nobody is finding it. Not the millionaires, not the lottery winners, not even royalty. You can have it. This is the life, He says, I want you to live. And we say, but Lord, not in this world. We're going to have to wait till we get to heaven because it's just too hard down here. He's saying, no. You can have it now. But you got to live according to these principles. Understand the pull of the world. The number two umbrella there in your notes, undertake an aggressive program in the Word. Undertake an aggressive program in the Word. Understand the pull of the world, but also undertake a program to get into the Word and to read it and to do it regularly and to get it into your system. It's like a spiritual transfusion, and you need it, and you need it every day. And I just want to tell you, you're not going to live a happy, fulfilled life unless you're getting that transfusion. I've listened to the radio. I keep listening to this commercial about the Texas superfood scientific vitamin that has 7,000 nutrients from every vegetable and fruit in the world, and some from a different world in this pill. And if you will just order a box for about $100 a month, and there's beets in them too. So I've never ordered them yet. I was about hooked until they said beets were in them. You will be immune to every physical problem in the world. Someone should buy me a crate of these. Listen. That's a scam like everything else. What you need is a spiritual superfood. And the only way to get that is by reading the Word of God. And it cleanses and it transforms your heart and your mind. It enables you to live according to these principles down here. And I'm just telling you, nothing else is going to help you do that. Well, I come to listen to you 45 minutes every week. That's not going to do anything. I hate to tell you. You got to get that word inside of you. And you've got to do it daily, and you've got to do it regularly. Listening to your favorite TV preacher once a week or a month isn't going to help. Andy Stanley isn't going to help you. I'm sorry. You've got to get in the word. You've got to have a program. Every year I get up here and I try to get people to read the Bible through. Every year I hand out these little forms. I try to get you to do these things, and people kind of get sick of it. Oh, you did that last year. You did it again. You're very creative. You did it again. Oh, another year. I'm going to read the Bible again. Listen, if I can get you to read the Bible daily, regularly, you got a chance to be happy. Me up here spitting and yelling at you, it's going to make a little more sense. You're gonna have a sense of fulfillment that you've never had before. There's no other way you can get it. Paul said, by the transforming of your mind, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not conform any longer. What did he say? To the pattern of this world. Some of you don't even know there's a pattern in this world. The psalmist just gave it to us. We walk, we entertain it. We receive the counsel, then we get down the path and we stand and identify with it. Then one day we find ourselves just sitting right in the middle of it. We're comfortable. It's our new lifestyle. Doesn't bring happiness, but our neighbor says it does. And so, sweat through another day. The first word I read in this psalm I don't know if you have your Bible open to it, but the first word in that psalm is the word blessed. Blessed is the man. The last word in that psalm is the word perish or destruction. And I will tell you, friend, that those two words are the picture of both worlds. Therein lies the tension built in for anybody here wanting to be a Christ follower. I know somebody probably told you, you become a Christian, every day is going to be great. It's going to be great, but there's going to be tension. There's going to be this all the time because you're living in a worldly system that says, listen, go this way, do this, have a seat. And Jesus is saying, no, I don't want you to live like that. I don't want you to live like that. I want you to be holy. I want you to be a peacemaker. I want you to understand that with my help, even though you're going through all of this, there's going to be fulfillment and satisfaction and blessing. You want this world or you want that world? You want the world that ends in death and destruction? That's where everyone's headed, man, and they're running around acting like they're happy, but they're headed down a road of destruction. There is no blessing at the end of that. Enjoy it while you can. Or get in this book and do your best to struggle and live according to His word and His principles. And I promise you, His hand will be on you. You will not have to wait till you die to get your eulogy. He will bless you right now and here and now. We're going to stand and sing this chorus. If you're here today and there's any decision you want to make, just step down to the front as we stand and as we sing.